So this morning, I ask the question and invite you to think with me, what is baptism? Baptism is ritual, for one. A ritual is simply a repeated or structured sequence of actions or behaviors that alters the internal or external state of an individual or a group or a place. It's usually an external movement or action meant to symbolize a choice or a change or a transition. Humans have used water in ritual, whether immersion or pouring, since long before Jesus or even Moses or Abraham. And while we use words to explain ritual and prepare for it or bind it legally, I think of that in a wedding, for example, I often think of ritual as a way of inviting all of yourself into an experience, not just your words. There are things that our bodies, our hearts, our guts can experience that aren't always accessible to our minds. I think of the phrase, to make sense of something. And I wonder if it doesn't come from the idea of using all your available senses to measure the meaning or trustworthiness of a person, place, or thing. To make sense of something, to bring all of your senses to it. Rituals can give us meaning handholds beyond just words, reminding us that words, too, are simply one attempt to capture or communicate something from one being to another, or to remember something essential that you fear you might forget. And I've chosen an image for each of these just as an additional sort of sensory way to think about these ideas. So that was a tea ceremony. So baptism is also a response. And I'm going to do a little experiment here, which might just show who's from what generation more than anything. We'll see. But a few little experiments. Marco. Okay, yeah. So, you guys are awesome. And I don't know if my daughter can hear this one, but Sweet Caroline. Awesome. Yeah, yeah. So, you might be thinking that having water poured over your head, or being dunked in water, or just generally feeling the need to be freshly washed, is not exactly a universal reflexive response to an experience of perceiving your ultimate belovedness or feeling an inner call to join a community and follow someone's teachings. I think in previous millennia, though, ritual cleansing or bathing in water would have been seen as an intuitively obvious way to acknowledge such revelations or choices. In Judaism, immersion in water has been a means of respect for and restoration to one's community, for ancient rules of cleanliness were strictly adhered to. And if you were deemed unclean by illness or circumstance, bathing was one of the actions that could restore you to community and protect the community from the contagion of your uncleanness or whatever it may have been. So it would have made sense to the individual and the community. And here again, we're reminded that ritual is about symbolism, that there might be different rituals that we could imagine that might embody a moment like baptism based on modern living. And it would be interesting to have a conversation about what springs to mind as the kind of ritual that action that we might choose if we were inventing baptism in 2025 in North America. Baptism is also a choice to be made as an adult in our tradition, the Mennonite Anabaptist tradition. Though recent generations of North American Mennonites have skewed the age of accountability quite young, I was baptized in the mid-80s, and I was 11, and I was a bit of a holdout for my church at the time, actually. At CMCL here, usually 17 or 18 is the youngest that CMCLers choose baptism, often in their senior year of high school. And in recent years, we've actually had more and more midlife adult baptisms. So we are very traditionally Anabaptist in that regard. Mennonite pastor Melissa Flora Bixler published a piece in the Christian Century about a year ago, and the title was, "My Son, the PK, Said No to Baptism." So PK is preacher's kid. And in it, she reflects on the time her 10-year-old son told her that he wanted to explore baptism. And so she writes, "The Mennonite church looks to the call stories in the Gospels to interpret our baptismal practice. In one of those stories, Simon Peter, James, and John are fishing when Jesus happens upon them. They recognize him, and that recognition calls forth an act. They leave behind their nets. But the nets of this life are only now coming into view for my child," she writes. "What kind of life will he forge? What other gods await to demand his allegiance," as Daryl introduced us to? She went on to say, "I spoke to a friend, also a Mennonite pastor, about my son's decision to wait for baptism. So," he said, "the baptism preparation was a success." And I agreed. "We both hope WIC will choose baptism one day, but we also know that in those weeks of discernment, he was offered space to encounter and reject the peculiar life we live as Christians. Believers' baptism is pacifism. It's one way we form community without violence. When those seeking baptism say, 'Not yet,' we know that we have not coerced or baited them, and that we have not forced someone into a life of faith." When I meet with our senior youth every year to talk about faith formation, I have found myself saying in recent years this: religion may seem foreign or boring to you, but I guarantee you, you will choose a faith community. It will be the people you celebrate your joys with, you share your sorrows with, whose opinions you will respect enough to share your dilemmas, and whose gatherings and homes you'll allow your kids to be in. You will choose rituals to mark your days and years. You will choose an ethical code to turn to and live by, and to judge ideas and circumstances and people by. And so I say, I encourage you to do that with intention, because it will happen no matter what. Your church, this church, the institution and history of Christianity is not perfect. But we are choosing to live life together, even imperfectly, and we'd love for you to explore that when you're ready to make those kinds of choices with intention. Baptism is a turning away. This is maybe very Gen X to the whole talk to the hand, but that was immediately what came to mind for me. But the most traditional language for this is turning away from evil or sin. And sometimes it's been interpreted or taken to an extreme of saying you must somehow turn away from yourself in order to turn to God. And I've been thinking a good bit about some of the newer liturgical language for this ritual in Voices Together, our newish hymnal. In their words for the baptism ritual, the turning away one is asked to declare is a turning away from evil by resisting violence and taking risks for what is good. So turning away from violence. I like how this resists the framing of turning away as a form of self-abandonment or confession of inherent depravity. The turning away part of baptism is something I resonate with more as I have aged, I will say. Newness, transformation, clean slates have a different logic and draw as I have accumulated more within and around me just with the passage of time. Baptism is an outpouring. It's a little bit washed out, but that's kids playing in a fire hydrant that got opened somehow. So I've always wanted to do that. I don't think that ever happened for me as a kid in my neighborhood, but it always looked like it would just be amazing on a summer day. One of the reasons most North American Mennonites have celebrated baptism by pouring water rather than immersing in it is because so often in Scripture, the Spirit is described in a language of outpouring. An outpouring is when something is expressed or comes out in a torrent or almost involuntarily. There is an effusiveness to an outpouring. It reminds me of Jesus saying that if humanity does not respond to the sweet Caroline call of God's love, the very rocks will cry out, "Dun, dun, dun." It's that strong and imperative. And that was new to me, that language of our tradition of pouring in baptism coming from the images of the Spirit being poured out. What I had always heard, which is also part of it, is that for so many years when early Anabaptists were in hiding, it wasn't realistic to go out to a river and immerse yourself in front of what could potentially be the public and endanger you in that way. So that is part of where our tradition comes from, but also the many uses in Scripture of pouring as a way that the Spirit comes out to us. Baptism is also immersion. An immersion, like outpouring, has connotations of abundance and extravagance, being surrounded, being held, or buoyed. I remember this artwork from our Advent worship maybe a year and a half ago, on a Sunday in which we looked at the story of Jesus' baptism, which was also the scripture read today. And I remember the first time I saw this image, I thought it was someone drowning. And then I realized, once I realized the story it was, and just spent some time looking at it, that it's capturing a moment of suspension. Jesus experiencing the belovedness of God without the clamor of the crowd. I think we all know what it is, the difference in the sound around you when your head is underwater. You can maybe still hear things, but it's muffled, and you're sort of back in a womb of your present experience. And this is the kind of protective bubble that I think rituals sometimes provide us. Something about moving the body in postures and experiences of ancestors over millennia can open a portal to deep presence and experience and aid the desired transformation sometimes in a ritual. So this is going to be kind of odd too, but this is another thing I came across in researching baptism. So baptism is immersion, but it's also in the form of, maybe did I miss an image there? Let me see. There we go. Baptism is also pickles. So apparently one of the earliest found uses of the Greek word for baptism, bapto was dip and baptizo, immersion, is from ancient Greek pickle recipes. So I thought it was kind of a hilarious image to think about baptism as pickles. So I don't know. We can that one maybe takes a little bit more pondering to come up with something very deep and profound and meaningful. But I also love sort of the earthiness of somehow along the way baptism as sort of a culinary term became a ritual in human life. There's something kind of beautiful and earthy about that. Baptism is personal. It's the manifestation of personal reflection and discernment and choice. And it's born out of one's own individual experiences or hunches about God, God creator, God who is love, and Jesus, teacher and Christ. Our scripture and tradition emphasize the ongoing presence of God's Spirit, both in the choice to come to baptism and as an ever-present comfort to come. And baptism is also public. This is an image of us when we move the chairs sometimes to have rituals here. This was one of our Celebration of Community Sundays when we sat in a circle with one another. In our tradition, the Anabaptist tradition, the ritual of baptism happens surrounded by the community, and it culminates in the embrace of that community, welcoming you into membership, and the reminder that the faith is not meant to be carried or carried out alone. And baptism is one way to say to your community, I am here, count me in, count on me. And knowing that of one another is imperative for the flourishing of each of us as believers and the flourishing of all of us as a whole. Knowing we are here, saying, reminding each other that we are here for each other. And this may seem odd, but baptism is present perfect progressive. I was thinking about some of the grammar of this, and I didn't remember the terms for this. But the way we ask the questions of baptism, actually, as we do in many rituals, what's asked for is a response in simple present tense, simply I do, or I am, I will. But as I talk with folks exploring baptism and have conversations about a life of faith, I find that we're often speaking in present perfect progressive tense, which means instead of I do, the answer would be I have been doing. There's been an action in the past, and it is continuing until now, and it's not stopping, it's moving forward into the future. Which implies that the belief, the doing, the choice did not just happen today, but has been in motion and will continue to be in motion going forward. So baptism is many things, and if you are interested in being baptized or talking about what your baptism means from whenever you made that choice, if you did, perhaps as your own faith and life shift over time, or perhaps as you notice shifts between yourself and the community in which you were baptized, if you feel drawn to marking a life of faith transition or intention or choice or response, it could be a ritual about something else, too. I would be eager to be a sounding board and community for you. And these are the kinds of things that we can do for and with one another. Stand together and provide, hold the space where ritual can happen and transformation can happen. So as we move into our time of baptism after a hymn of response, I just invite you to hold these questions. I listed a lot of things that baptism is, but I know this group of people, and I know that there would be a lot of other ways you might describe what baptism is. And I invite you to think about your baptism as we have the joy and the honor of witnessing and standing with Amelia and Julie and Sean. And also maybe think about how you're still present, perfect, progressing in it as well. So, amen.